Well, as I said, the main thing I'm going to try to argue from the text is that we're all confronted with a choice. That is to choose eternal life or our best life. I hope to prove that as we look through these verses together. I'm going to read these verses again for us because it's such a short section of scripture. I want us to keep it in front of us. Verse 13 says this, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The one point we're going to talk about this morning is what I seem to feel as I read this text is, but everyone else is going that way. That's my point this morning, and we're going to discuss it, is everybody else seems to be going the other way, and why is it? If this is really true, and I believe that it is because it's God's inspired word, why is it that everyone seems to be going that way? These verses open up and center on an idea of two gates, two paths, two destinations, and two ways of getting to two different destinations. As the video made clear, Jesus has concluded his Sermon on the Mount, and now he's concluded the bulk of his body, and now he's concluding. He's landing the plane, if you will. He's bringing practical application, and like any good sermon will land at a point of decision. It's going to bring you to a point where you have to make a choice. We're confronted with the reality of Scripture and then not just left to figure it out on our own, but we're to make a decision about Jesus. And here Jesus is confronting us. He's bringing us to the point of the decision, and he says this, you have to choose. You either choose my way or you choose the world's way. It's either my way or the world's way. He introduces first in verse 13 the desired gate. Right? This is the gate that we should pursue. According to Jesus, this is the desired destination. He could have used any word to describe the gate, and he chose narrow. He could have called it anything he wanted. He could have called it a beautiful gate. He chose narrow. He says the desired gate is narrow. And then as if to move immediately past this description, he doesn't try to make excuses for its size or its relative difficulty of passage. He just moves right past it onto the undesirable gate. He leaves the reader, the responding person, with the idea of the desired gate being narrow, and then he moves on to talk about the undesirable gate. He says, now this gate, let me tell you something about this gate. It's wide. A lot of people can fit through this gate. And don't worry, right? If the road's broad, there's a lot of people traveling on it, so you're not going to be lonely. If you go on this broad path, you can have discussions with people. You can veer in and out of lanes. You won't be lonely. You don't even really have to pay attention on the road. You can swerve kind of in and out of lanes. There's plenty of room for you. This gate, this road, seems to scratch so many people where they itch. The broad road is so attractive. It's so appealing. But it leads somewhere. Jesus says the broad road leads to destruction. The things you want in your life, the things you desire that are presented so clearly and evidently and fulfillingly on the broad road, they lead you to destruction. The unfortunate reality is this road is pretty busy. Many travel it, this broad road. The dangerous part about this road is not only its destination is destruction, but that the people that are on the path, they think they're on the path to the narrow gate. They're on the broad road, fulfilling all their earthly desires, doing whatever they want to do, being affirmed in any way they want to be affirmed, and thinking all along that the destination that they're on the road for is the narrow gate, when the reality is the broad road goes to the wide gate. Our culture is no help here. So our personal desires, we certainly have to understand. Half-brother Jesus James tells us this, that it's our desires that lead us to temptation. But our culture is no help here. They advertise this road as the desired road. Right? Everywhere you turn, there are signs that indicate that the broad road is what leads to the good gate. It's the road of tolerance. The right way to live is to be tolerant, right? There's no area of your life right now where you're not probably confronted with the need to be tolerant. And that tolerance is the good way of living. And it will lead you, if you are tolerant, to good things. The broad road is the road of tolerance. The broad road's also the road of moral ambiguity. There is no moral absolute on the broad road. And that's supposedly the way to live. At least our culture would tell us this, that you cannot be the judge of anyone. Moral ambiguity is the desirable way to live. You mind yours, I'll mind mine, we'll be just fine. Broad road mentality. It's the road of I get to make decisions. I am the decision maker. I can choose. It's the broad road of autonomy. I'm in charge. I'm in charge of my life. You're in charge of yours. You stay in your lane. I'll stay in mine. We'll be just fine. This road's not new. I don't know if you know this, but this road's not new. It was actually paved in Genesis 3. If we go back to the creation account, God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them a very broad road. He said, you can have literally anything in the garden you want. You're in charge of everything. You have all that you want except this one thing. Except this one thing. Enter the serpent, the devil, the deceiver who helps the couple find their way to the broad road, although it was very narrow at the time. And what he does is he helps them question God's goodness. Why would God keep this one thing from you? Doesn't this seem desirable? Isn't it beautiful and attractive to the eye? Doesn't the fruit look so good? Doesn't your belly want this fruit? So they saw that something was desirable to their earthly eyes, and they filled their belly with it. And so the first asphalt was paved on the broad road. They got to choose. They made the decision. They were autonomous. Satan made it morally ambiguous whether they should or shouldn't eat the fruit. It was paved by those who make their own choices, determine for themselves what's good and what's not good. And we haven't stopped since, have we? We keep making those decisions. We keep, as a matter of fact, the road is so broad because we keep adding lanes. There were a couple meetings this week. If you live in the area, you probably know about them. They had meetings about what they're calling the K-10 corridor updates. There was a meeting at DeSoto High School. I believe it was on Tuesday night, maybe. Then there was one in Olathe, and I didn't go to either. I'll keep my personal opinions about the widening of K-10 to myself. But the reality is, the long and short is they're going to widen K-10. Why are they widening K-10, do you think? Why are they widening K-10? Okay, I hear Panasonic. Traffic, overcrowding, right? You add lanes because traffic increases. Right, when traffic slows down, when it starts to be a bottleneck, we have to add lanes. Why are they adding lanes? Well, Panasonic is one. They're building, if you don't know this, they're building a Panasonic battery factory just south of town. Not only that, more people are moving outside the metro because they want a little bit more privacy, and they still live in or work inside the city, so they have to drive inside the city. There are many that have lived in Lawrence for several years that work in the Kansas City metro, so traffic increases, you add lanes. That's what happens. More traffic, more lanes. Jesus says the road's broad, and you're adding lanes. You're adding lanes for your differing views. You're adding lanes for your differing realities. You're adding lanes for your different identities. You're adding lanes for your different curiosities, for your ambiguities, and for your philosophies. You keep adding lanes. Highway's getting wide. There's no meetings about the lane expansions on the broad road. They just add them. This broad road includes vanity, materialism, sexual liberation, politics. It's where all these lanes excel. because they promise things they can't deliver. You want to talk about wide lanes, like, so it's all relative, right? I don't like the traffic that we deal with in Kansas City, but everything I hear from people who live in large cities is we've got it pretty nice, right? There's conflicting reports online, but the best I can tell is I-10 in parts of Houston is the widest highway in the nation. And according to some of these reports, spots on I-10 in Houston boast 26 lanes of traffic. 26 lanes. I thought about putting a picture up there, but I want you to visualize that. I want you to think about it. It's almost like that's overwhelming to me. Like, I just wouldn't drive. I would probably just like park and get out. Because, I mean, what do you do if you're like in the fast lane and you have to get off the highway in like 7 miles? You got to start getting over now. Like, I got to get over, and then 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 I got to get, like, who, I don't even know how you can do that. I can't even fathom that. That's what we're doing with the broad road. It seems ridiculous to drive on a road. It seems overwhelming. It seems almost comical. But that's what we do. We're like, yeah, but you can believe that. It'll be just fine. You'll just get to the same place as everybody else. You can believe something completely different than me, but what, you know, you just stay in that lane over there. I'll stay in this lane over here. We'll just keep going. And we'll just keep going. It's no big deal. This broad road promises all kinds of fulfillment in so many different ways. How can you be fulfilled in that way and me be fulfilled in this way and both be true? They cannot be. It's literally, it's a logical contradiction. Everybody's just so concerned you can just live your best life. They just live your best life now. I want to tell you, I'm sorry if this is going to hurt. If you've used this term, stop it. There may be plenty of people out there living their best life. There may be. But not a one of them has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that is so unbiblical. There is not one believer in Jesus Christ who's living their best life right now. Their best life is to come. We were not built, we were not created, we were not begotten by the Father to have our fulfillment in this life. We were created to be fulfilled in eternity with our Heavenly Father. That's where our fulfillment comes. All the people on the broad road seem to want to be there. Just driving. Just driving. All these lanes, vast and appealing, lead to the same place. They lead to destruction. Separation from God. They lead to a literal hell. A literal hell. Jesus defines that literal hell as a place filled with a fire that can't be quenched. I don't care how beautiful the road is, getting to that place. I don't want to go to that place. If I believe Jesus, I don't care how attractive the 26 lanes of traffic is, I don't want to get to the destination that it's going to take me. That sounds like a bad place to try to be. But Jesus says there's good news. Right? He started with the good news, and then he tells us clearly what the bad news is and returns to the good news here in verse 14. He says, small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only if you find it. The good news is there is a gate that leads to life. And now we as a society, we want to nitpick the good gate that leads to life. We want to talk about how it's too exclusive, or, you know, it's closed-minded, or it's all these things. We have all these arguments. It's because we're a pessimistic society, folks. We overlook the fact that there's good news, that people can spend eternity with a creator God in heaven, and we want to nitpick how to get there. Jesus says there's good news. Jesus is honest about his gate. The world says, my gate's great, it's beautiful, the road is fantastic, you should come here. Jesus is like, I'm not sure you're ready. It's a tight gate and the road's dangerous. Only a few can handle it. Are you the few? Jesus is honest. He's not flattering with his speech. He's genuine. And he says, it's fantastic, the views at the end. Road's probably bumpy, though. The beautiful part of this explanation is that the mountain road that Jesus seems to be explaining, right? When we think of the road is narrow, what do we think of? If you've ever driven in like the mountains and there's like a little guardrail and you, if you're in the passenger seat, you look over and it's like straight down, you know? Like, keep your eyes on the road. Do not fall off this road, because if so, we're falling hundreds of feet, right? Scary, dangerous stuff. The reality is the mountain road that Jesus is explaining is not one that falls off and you're, if you get off path a little bit, you fall dangerously to your death. It's talking about a crevice in a mountain where you're hemmed in on both sides by structures that keep you on the path. Jesus says it's a narrow path, but it's narrow because I'm going to keep you on it. And as you pursue it, you may drift off course a little bit. Your car might have some scratches. But the bottom line is, I'm going to keep you on my path. It's narrow, but it's safe. Has anybody seen Cars 2? Cars 2? Man, this is a weak sauce congregation. Put the hands up. Yeah, Cars 2 is a great movie. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, I'm praying for you. But I'll explain to you. There's a character in the movie. His name is Tomater, and he's a tow truck. He's rusty. He's ugly, right? He's super, like, redneck persona, kind of annoying, but a great character. Like, the most redeemable character probably in all of the movies. And they're trying to disguise him. I won't explain why, because it would take too long. And they're talking about pulling out his dents. And what Tomater says is, nobody's fixing my dents. He says, I would never get any of my dents buffed, pulled, filled, or painted. They're too valuable. They're too valuable. And it seems like in life, we don't understand what Tomater already understood. We want to get on the wide lanes and the wide road and get away from the traffic and just set cruise control and just go and not end up with any scratches on our car. And Tomater says, the bottom line is, when you're running around with buddies, when you're on the path and you get the dents, it's a good thing. He says, each of those are experiences with my best friend, Lightning McQueen. And when we walk the narrow path, when we drive the narrow path with Jesus, we may end up with dents and scratches on our car, but they're all because they're experiences with our best friend, Jesus Christ, who keeps us on his path. He gives us dents to keep us safe, not to irritate us or make us OCD about the scratches on our vehicle. He gives us the scratches to keep us safe. When we choose to follow Jesus, we may end up with some dents and scratches, but they're valuable. They're valuable. Jesus says, don't try to buff them out. Don't try to buff them out. Show them off. Jesus isn't promising you a cushy ride or even an easy fit through the gate, but what he does promise is life, both on the path and through the gate. A life that beats any sort of temporary fulfillment, life that has meaning while you're on the road, and a life that's lived to the fullest certainly doesn't require 26 lanes of traffic. The only way to live life of full meaning is to live it following Jesus. The life of meaning here on earth, when you're following the narrow path, is much more rewarding than anything else. You want to know why? Because that's what you were created to do, is follow Jesus. You were created to follow Jesus. Everything else you're doing when you don't follow Jesus is just trying to fill a hole that is still there because you're not following Jesus. So the narrow path, while it seems daunting and it's scary and it's like, I'm not sure I got the guts to do it, it's the only way to live out your created purpose in life. So you're most fulfilled when you're following Jesus. Everything else is a cheap substitute. Not only that, but at the end of the fulfilling life that is literally living out your created purpose, you get eternity with Jesus. You get time that begets time. We can't even comprehend eternity. Guess what eternity minus 478 billion is? Eternity. We can't comprehend it. And Jesus says, man, it's right there. Tiny gate, narrow road, beautiful. Do you know we don't even have words in our language to describe heaven? We don't. Best thing we got is paradise. It's the best we can do. Like, that seems like a pretty weak explanation of heaven. But that's the best we got. Paradise. Jesus offers us paradise. He's like, but you don't get to choose how you get there. It's not your choice. It's my paradise. So come the way I tell you to. Jesus will clarify the ambiguity that our society loves to live in verses 21 and 22. If we were to continue reading, we would see this kind of continuation of you got to choose. You got to choose. You got to choose. And in verses 21 and 22, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. It's like narrow path, broad path, small gate, wide gate. He says, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord. Hear me this morning. If you want the small gate destination with the broad road lanes, Jesus is talking to you. He's saying, if that's what you want to do, on that day, expect me to say, you're not entering the kingdom of heaven. Depart from me because I never knew you. You notice he uses the same wording in verses 21 and 22 that he does in 13 and 14. He says, enter the narrow gate, enter the kingdom of heaven. Narrow gate is the kingdom of heaven. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, many find the broad road. Jesus clarifies, what is the narrow gate? What is the narrow road? John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. The only way into the kingdom of heaven is repenting of our sins and trusting in Jesus Christ and following his way, his narrow path. Jesus here at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount is he's telling us we've got to choose. We choose him or the world. He is the small gate. He is the narrow path. He is life. To choose otherwise, Jesus says, is to choose death. I wonder about you this morning. In this text, Jesus is like openly inviting us to trust in him. This text is begging us to choose Jesus, not only for salvation, but to choose Jesus for directions. Not just save me, but guide me. I wonder for you this morning, have you chosen Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus for salvation? And I wonder this morning if you've chosen Jesus for your directions. The text also encourages us to trust Jesus. Not only do we trust him for salvation, but trust him for directions. Like that the narrow road is the most desirable road. It sounds daunting, but Jesus says it's the way to go. So although I can't see it, I believe it. The text begs us to trust that what Jesus says is best is best. Not what culture says, because culture's got a lot to say about what Jesus says. And they do just like Satan. Let's twist, did he really say? Trust what Jesus says is best. The text also teaches me to be weary of broad roads, attractions. We all find ourselves in that spot, wanting the thing that the broad road gives. The text cautions me. The text also prompts me to pray that I would have the courage to follow the narrow path, knowing that Jesus is the path, the gate, and he is the reward, and he is the joy. Would you pray with me?